It is simultaneously the most difficult and rewarding thing of my life. There are some days when you think, oh man, I wish I was just a gardener. And then you realize that no, I wouldn't trade it in.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. We are in Amsterdam right now, and I am here with my Canadian Latvian friend, Julie, who has tried to convince me that she is not in technology when she was very much in technology. And so since we are here in Amsterdam together for the Next Web, I was like, I need to have you on the show. I can't believe I haven't had you on the show already when I was in Latvia. And so with much resistance, she is now sitting at the park with me here in Amsterdam outside the Van Gogh Museum on the grass to talk about how she adamantly is just not a woman in tech, but though she is.
Hi.
Julia, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
My name's Julia, and as most people and most women in tech, I wear several hats, just like you. I am the editor of Labs of Latvia, the Latvian startup news platform, as well as the co-founder of a content marketing and PR agency where we mostly work with Latvian and startups from abroad.
And so the reason why I believe you to be a woman in tech, and it's really interesting that you think this, and it's something that actually comes up a lot with a variety of women, is what makes someone in tech. I particularly think the leadership that you have with Labs of Latvia makes you a woman in tech. And then yes, your marketing agency like works with tech companies. For me, that doesn't as much make you in tech. Mm-hmm. That's by association you're in tech. But Labs of Latvia, to me, is black and white, you're in tech. Talk about a little bit more about Labs of Latvia and why you think, you know, why you would or wouldn't be considered in tech because of that.
Yeah, so Labs of Latvia is the main platform where you can find out news about whatever is going on in the Latvian startup ecosystem, and it's available both in English and in Latvian. So it's an important resource for both individuals in Latvia who are trying to find out more about Latvian startups and what's going on, and this is the only resource in their own language. But at the same time, it's very often the first coverage that a lot of local startups are going to get internationally that they can then use to spread the word about them. If they're trying to introduce themselves to investors or partners or clients abroad, then they can send over a link. And it's also popularizing, at least I hope, the good word.
And so there's a couple significant tech conferences in Latvia, Digital Freedom Fest and Tech Chill. I've been to both. They're both fantastic. A little something to know about Latvia is there's Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. Are there any other Baltics that I'm not thinking of?
Well, those are the three main, what usually are considered the Baltic countries, though others would argue that the Baltic region is every country that's on the Baltic Sea, which is so much more. That's, you know, Finland and Sweden and Germany. And
it gets a little confusing when we're over here. But the interesting thing is specifically Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania have this collaborative / independent tech culture where they're very small countries. So in a lot of ways, they collaborate together to become a stronger tech ecosystem. But yet they want to beat one another out to be the strongest of the three. It's very complicated, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's very diplomatically put. That's accurate, yeah.
And I'd say Latvia is known sort of more for the generalist tech startup culture. I would say Estonia is more known for a dev-heavy startup culture, and Lithuania is more known for fintech. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Estonia is also becoming very known for their e-residency policy.
Oh, yes.
So that's kind of their main international thing. And Latvia is trying to figure out what Latvia's one specific thing
right.
is. And one option might be drones, because there are a ton of Latvian drone startups right now that are doing really well. For example, at Slush, the largest tech startup conference in this part of the world.
It's in Finland.
Yeah, in Helsinki. The Latvian drone startup was pitching in the final three on the main stage, which is a really big deal for Latvia. And then another option is deep tech.
And deep tech is the scary shit, right?
Right. It's the really science-heavy stuff. The stuff that you can't, you know, if it's not like I have an idea and I'm going to go make an app.
And then for those listeners who don't know, tell us what an e-residency is in Estonia.
Yeah. Estonia's e-residency service is essentially it lets anyone in the world become an electronic resident of Estonia. And that comes with a lot of bonuses. One of the main ones that are relevant maybe to us and your listeners
yeah.
is that as an e-resident, then you can also then found your own company in Estonia and then benefit from Estonia's business environment. So that would one factor would be that you would have then an EU-based company,
yeah.
which is very important for, I mean, a lot of Brits right now are re-registering their companies to Estonia so that they can maintain the benefits from EU business.
Interesting.
And a lot of other countries from outside of the EU use Estonia as that first kind of in because it's easy, and then it's also really easy. Everything can be done online.
And yeah.
It's just convenient. Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't done it yet. I found out about e-residency like 4 or 5 years ago, and it's one of those things I haven't gotten around to yet. But so let's jump into it. Why, when you're, I mean, you just told us a whole bunch of stuff that most people don't know, specifically in the tech world, and you don't consider yourself a woman in tech. I would love to have that conversation with you. Why?
Right. Well, I mostly write about tech, which makes me feel like I'm more of a woman observing tech rather than a woman in tech.
Even though you're part of the tech culture.
Yes. But as a non-technical person, then I find it difficult to call myself a woman in tech. It seems like it would be appropriating skills that I don't have. Kind of like an imposter syndrome type thing.
So, okay. So I do know how to code a website, sort of. I say that I know enough to break things. I only learned the little coding that I know, well, from MySpace on customizing my profile, as a lot of us did.
Oh, man. I learned basic stuff on Neopets. I don't know if you guys
What's Neopets?
Oh,
what
man.
Is that?
It used to be my favorite website on the internet. you could raise these online little monsters and you can make profiles for them similar to MySpace and like make flowers like fall over your screen
cool.
and you know all that stuff.
I think we need more of that. Where's Facebook integrating this so we could all become
so
developers?
Boring.
But so I learned, and then I had co-founders who were CTOs, and so then that's when I learned how my ins and outs of coding and the different types of code and enough to know how to build things. My point in sharing this is when I built my second company, my action sports social network, it was my co-founder who knew how to code. I was the visionary. I was passionate about action sports. I was passionate about connectivity. I am the one that raised the money. Like I went out mm-hmm. to venture capitalists and all that stuff. I was the first, to my knowledge, I built the first action sports social network. And when I say I mean my business partner and I. Mm-hmm. And I was the first person to raise money for a tech company in the action sports space. But according to your definition, I wouldn't be in tech. Right?
Okay. So
that's why I'm bringing it up.
I wouldn't want... Yeah, okay. Well, I wouldn't probably say that because then you're part of the company that's doing it. You're raising your team... you're leading your team to build this stuff.
I'm giving her funny faces. So, like, but I mean, Labs of Latvia may not be like, it's not your company, right?
It's owned. No, by, it's yeah. actually owned by the government.
So it may be the government's, you know, publication, but you're leading it and deeply immersed in it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the difference that I'm finding between my story versus your story is that in your story, you are working day to day with developers to build this tech product, whereas I'm not.
Interesting. But in some ways, and we'll move on because I want to find out when you first became interested in technology, but in some ways, aren't you moving a community forward, this country in the Baltics that wants to be a main leader as a culture? They want to be noticed by Silicon Valley and other, you know, economic you know, systems around the world, that we are a country to pay attention to for the tech culture. Aren't you directly contributing to that growth?
I would absolutely love to think so. And I would say yes. A different kind of way I've thought of myself and my role is I'm like Latvian startup ecosystem's main cheerleader.
Right? It's so interesting to me. I think this was a great little share that we had together. Because a lot of people ask the question or have told me when I would like to have them on the show, oh, well, you know, I'm not a woman in tech. I'm like, what do you mean? You know? And I think it's interesting that it does. To me, being in tech is kind of has the same ambiguity as what is a podcast. Podcasting has become really popular, at least in the States. I don't think many people in Latvia listen to podcasts yet.
Surprisingly,
right?
It's growing.
Is it?
A large number of podcasts have sprung up within the past half year.
Oh,
like
interesting.
In Latvian and that kind of thing.
Oh, very cool. So, like, podcasting is still very confusing because, like, is a podcast a video? Is it just audio? Is it only on Apple? Is it on YouTube too? Like, it's all these questions. And I know what a podcast is because I've been in it since 2013 and I'm just a podcaster. But I have a hard time describing it. I mean, the best way I could describe it is it's like on-demand radio that you could access at any time and in bulk. Still, I have a very... It's hard to describe, and I feel like being in tech now, it's like, just because you have a website, does that mean you're in tech? To me, no. Just because, like, a social media marketer, nope, not in tech. Like, you know, it's a very ambiguous...
No, for sure, and I think it's a worthwhile discussion to have, so I totally applaud you for bringing it up and talking about it, because I don't think there's an easy... answer to that.
No. But my final say is you're in tech.
Thank you.
Okay. So speaking of, when did you first become interested in the world of technology?
That was mostly by accident. I mean, my first kind of step into the world of tech was when I started working for Draugiem in Latvia, which is kind of this... Draugiem was the main social network in Latvia for many, many years. Everyone in Latvia was on Draugiem, and what the founders did early on, they took their profits and reinvested them into more startups.
And what was Draugiem?
Draugiem social media network.
Oh, it was a social network.
Just social network.
Yeah.
So I joined when they started creating these new kind of startup ideas that were geared towards an international audience for the first time, because everything that they were building until then had been very focused on the local market.
Right.
So they needed help with international sales and whatnot, and that kind of what we would call would be like growth marketing.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And then realized that that's really not my thing, but the actual just marketing part of it and writing is really great. So. That startup didn't exist. The Draugiem founders, they are quick to start a new startup and also quick to kill them.
Yeah.
So that one died out, but there were plenty of others that came in after them. And one of them right now is one of Latvia's biggest startup success story, which is Printful.
Printful!
So I was part of, when Printful started, it was a project manager, a programmer, a designer, and myself in marketing and copy.
And what does Printful do?
Printful is a print-on-demand dropshipping company. So, like, if you started your own little Shopify store and you had a cool little design but didn't have the capacity to, like, put in a ton of money to, I don't know, print out all your t-shirts, then you just connect your store to Printful, and every time an order comes in, then Printful gets the order and prints it out and ships it directly to your customer. So it's like a passive income e-commerce
fantastic
solution. Yeah. So so then I was with Draugiem for many years, 5 years, working on a plethora of a ton of different startups.
By the way, I love that she thinks she's not in tech. Okay. She's going to rethink her whole identity after this podcast interview.
No, but that is so life, though. I mean, what is identity? Yeah. Who are we?
Oh, now we're going deep. Speaking of deep.
This is no longer the Women in Tech podcast. This is the Women in Psychology. So I mean, that's when I started to get interested and dig deeper. And then for the first year when TechChill was organized, which you mentioned already, the conference in Latvia, I was also on part of the team that was organizing. I was a volunteer. There were only like 4 people organizing the conference back then. So I was part of that, and it was really cool to see TechChill grow from a small event to the comparatively massive event that it is now, with over 2,000 participants and multiple stages and all that.
And how did it lead to Labs of Latvia?
So I've always loved writing, and it seems to come naturally, and I really enjoy it. And I love, like, what motivates me beyond anything is spreading the news about Latvia. And I just, this weird little like patriotic, that's the word,
patriotic
little quirk. And
which is funny because you're Canadian.
Yeah, well, born and raised in Canada, but half Latvian and half British by descent. So, but it's also kind of a really nice underdog story. So I just love seeing the underdog win.
When did you move to Latvia from Canada?
After high school, I came to study in university. Yeah, so while I was studying, I started working part-time for Draugiem. And then when I graduated, then I started working full-time.
And you just love it there.
I do. It's really great. But I didn't answer your question about how I got to Labs of Latvia.
Sorry. What a terrible interviewer I am.
But yeah, so then I was invited to write for Labs of Latvia as well, in addition to full-time work, to write about the Latvian startup ecosystem. And I think it's one of the most awesome roles to have because I get to do my cheerleading thing.
Oh, and you do this cool thing. So Julia organized... Well, two things. She organizes this amazing startup tour, so I would love for you to talk a little bit about that. But on the startup tour is the first time I saw that she wears this, like, branded crown. And so now it's very weird to me when I see her without the crown. What is this crown? Why do you all wear one? Who is it? Mm-hmm. Who is you all? And then tell us about the startup tour, too.
Right. So the crowns are worn by my team at True6, the startup content marketing and PR agency. And we started wearing the crown, which is, it's a modernized version of the Latvian ethnic folk costume crown that would have been worn hundreds of years ago by girls, women in Latvia. And it came about because we were, myself and my co-founder, we were going to Web Summit, which is like the biggest tech conference in the world now. And I was telling my mom about this, and she's like, jokingly, like, oh, you guys are going to have to put something crazy on your heads to get noticed. And
you're like, oh,
actually,
that's a good idea.
That's a really good idea. And I have a friend who's a crown maker, Brigitte Strodan, and she makes these incredible modernized versions of these crowns. And I asked her if we could borrow her crowns for the conference. She graciously offered them to us. And for the first day at Web Summit, we didn't put them on. And we were just so totally lost. For anyone who's ever been to Web Summit, you know how crazy it is.
Yeah.
And how, like, there's so many people. You're like a sheep in a herd that's just being herded
totally.
From one end to
pictures,
the other.
If you're American, picture South by Southwest. You can picture, I mean, if you're European, you know Web Summit. But if you're American, picture South by Southwest. I'm not sure what the equivalent is in Asia. Maybe you know.
I don't know.
But yeah.
And
a lot of people.
So, I mean, the first day was just terrible. Like, we didn't know who to talk to or how to strike up a conversation. There are just so many people. And then the second day, we put on the crowns, and all of a sudden, we didn't have this problem anymore because people were coming to us.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful. And then it was also, so it's an icebreaker. They're also Latvian, so we get to talk about our heritage wherever we go. And then that's we did that for Web Summit and then came back to Latvia for DFF, and I wasn't wearing the crown there. And then, like, everyone freaked out, like, no, you've got to wear the crown. So ever since then, it's just become a thing where, like, we always have these crowns. And it's handy because, for one, people recognize you. So I had someone come up to me at Slush this year who said, like, they saw me at the previous year's Slush, and they saw the crown again, and they wanted to say hi, and so we met, and that was really cool. But
yay,
there
mom.
Is right. That's yeah. Gold star for mom. Moms are always right. That's the longer I live, the more I realize that moms are always right. But the minus is that exactly what you mentioned, that if you don't have the crown on, then sometimes people just don't recognize you.
Yeah.
Don't know who you are.
It's not really a minus. It's kind of like Superman or Superwoman.
Oh, yeah. Then you turn into Clark Kent when you want.
Yeah, or what's the female version?
I don't know.
You get the idea. Clarka Kenta.
So then
the startup tour. And by the way, you guys remember I shared at the beginning of the episode that we are at the park. And so if you hear the wind going by, we're at the park.
You can feel like you're sitting on the lawn in Amsterdam with us.
Yes, definitely. So tell us about the startup tour.
Yeah, the startup tour
was a super
cool event. So Tech Chill's been happening for 8 years now.
Crazy.
And this year...
And Tech Chill is powered by the government too, right?
I think their sponsors usually are LEIA, which is a government agency, one of their sponsors, but it's not organized by the government at all, no. All of these really cool journalists and media representatives are in town and just, like, looking for stories, and we've got plenty of stories in Latvia and Latvian startups. So what we decided to do was, a day before the conference, we... rented a bus, filled it with tasty drinks, and then invited all of our media friends to join us on a tour to go visit some of Latvia's coolest startups and tech businesses, so that first of all they would get like a hands-on view of like seeing what the actual startups are and experience their tech. We focused on like more hardware type stuff because, you know, you can see it and you can touch it. Like there was like the VR goggles that we could try with Anatomy Next. Everyone got to print a t-shirt at Printful. Sonarworks is like
that
this
was so cool.
The headphone thing. I still have a video of you listening to their calibrated sound systems. So, I mean, it was all very hands-on, and I think it was a great event.
And these are not just, you know, small starter companies. These are companies really making mark. Like, I think the audio company isn't their primary business in Los Angeles? They have, like, a ton of music studios in Los Angeles, and then Printful, like, don't they deliver around the world?
They've done, I don't even remember how many millions of printed t-shirts by now. They're growing very rapidly. Anatomy Next has a deal with the U.S. government. Big stuff's happening, yeah.
What's so crazy is before I went to Latvia for the first time, is I didn't know what Latvia was. <You know? laughs> This ignorant American over here, I completely just had no idea about the Baltic. I mean, I knew I wanted to go to Estonia one day, and I knew I wanted to go to Estonia because I heard that's where all the developers hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have to go.
Yeah.
It's like my town of people. But then I didn't know anything, and now I've been to Latvia, Lithuania. Vilnius in Lithuania is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's like one of my favorite cities. Yeah.
I love the Baltics, especially the cities in the Baltics, because you get the benefit of it being the capital city. So you've got all of the culture, all of the events, all of the art, all of the delicious food. But the cities are comparatively, like, from a global scale, they're pretty small. So you can walk essentially everywhere where you have to get to.
Yeah.
And just to be able to explore a city by foot completely and just feel comfortable, I think is really neat.
Totally.
You never feel lost.
For you, one of the favorite questions that I'm sure you've heard me ask before is, what's a huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome, and how did you overcome it?
Probably overcoming a fear of inadequacy.
Mm.
Again, going back to imposter syndrome thing that I think women actually deal with a lot.
Yeah. I have it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, quitting a very stable and cool, fun job with Printful to start my own business was something scary.
Why did you do that?
I was ready for something new. I mean, I was telling you about how I love seeing Latvia's name being published more, and Printful isn't the only good idea coming out of Latvia, so I wanted to be able to work with other cool companies as well.
Yeah.
And Printful is still a client, so I still get to work with them, so that's really cool.
You get your cake and eat it too. You're like this champion evangelist for Latvia.
Yes.
Yeah.
If that was an official title, I would put that in my LinkedIn.
Before I ask you a couple last questions, check the time to make sure, because I know you have a plane.
I do.
I don't want you missing the plane because we're on the grass with microphones.
Yeah, we're okay on time.
Okay. No, you're going to London tonight. You're not even going to Latvia.
Yeah. Myself and my co-founder were in London. She's there for the entire month. I'm there for 2 weeks. And then our team member is coming to join us at the end of the week. And it's kind of a part of a little workation thing that we do. Last year we went to Tuscany all together.
Nice.
Yeah, and we did some
work for your company.
No, it's actually really cool. That's one of my favorite things of owning a company is that you kind of set the rules yourself. It's like, you want to go to London? Go to London. You want to take your team to Tuscany? All right, let's go. Let's book some tickets. And then, like, I don't know, in the summer we did like a seaside vacation for a few days.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
Like, having your own company is really difficult. What do you think about it? Like, is it living up to your expectations?
It is simultaneously the most difficult and rewarding thing of my life. And I feel like that's probably what mothers say about motherhood.
I feel exactly the same about my company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most difficult, ridiculously cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some days when you think, oh man, I wish I was just a gardener.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
A barista.
Yeah. Yeah. and then you realize that no, I wouldn't trade it in.
Yeah. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten?
Probably put something crazy on your head before you go to Web Summit.
Oh, 100%. No, that was an incredible piece. So for years, I don't do it now. I probably maybe should start again. But definitely when I was growing my action sports business, would wear glitter under one eye, like a gem under an eye,
nice.
And glitter. And people would call me Glitter Girl. And literally, I would be the girl with the glitter. And over the years of growing my company, people would look for the girl with the glitter on the face to talk to me about my company.
There you go. It's visibility. It's branding.
Yeah.
It works.
And in the male dating hacking books, it's called peacocking.
Yeah. It's so true.
In the dark underground world of male dating.
Yeah, and apparently it doesn't have to be a guy thing either.
Yeah. And then what is your favorite technology app? Software, website, hardware.
I have a thing for to-do lists. I love lists, lists of any kind. So I feel like it'll probably have to be a list. I mean, like,
do you have an app?
I mean, I use a ton of them simultaneously.
Like, what are a couple?
So I mean, like, I do the regular, like, Evernote, Trello, even like built-in like notes, and that kind of stuff. But lately, I've really been liking Bear.
What's Bear?
Bear is just like a checklist kind of notepad or checklist.
Is it physical or
no? It's an app, so it's both a desktop and mobile.
Bare.
Yep. It's free and it's really, really nice.
Really.
And I really like it for note taking. I love it for checklists. I forget which entrepreneur it was, but it was based off of a blog thing that someone wrote about. Prioritizing, like, first you write down like the list of like top 25. Oh, maybe it was Obama. I don't know. Like top 25 things that you should be doing this month, and then identify the top 5 of those.
Yeah.
So in Bear, I'll have like April top 25.
Yeah.
And then I'll write down my top 25 things I have to do, and then I'll identify like bold the 5 other ones, and then the 20 that aren't bolded, those are your avoid at all cost things to do until you do the bolded ones.
I want to check out Bear. There's one that I used to use that I just started using again called To-Do List.
Yep. You know, I've used that one.
I like it. So I started using something called Strides, which is a habit changing app. And so I'll put in the habits that I want to change, like no sugar, which doesn't count for the lunch we just ate, or breakfast, depending
on. It's a delicious Belgian waffle.
So I'll put the habits down. But then one of the habits that I'm doing my best to change is to plan tomorrow. So at night, just do a little planning of the next day. And I don't want it to be something so rigid where it's in my calendar. So it's not serious. It's just kind of like. To have a general idea. And so in to-do lists, I'll put down my plan for tomorrow.
Yeah,
and then
cool.
If I don't get to them, they automatically move over. And then as they're done, they're done. It's a very like informal, low-key way to just get it out of my head.
So that seems like not only just for habit building, but also a to-do list.
Yeah.
So we can hack Strides.
Oh, well,
Well, or it doesn't work that way.
You can't put a to-do list on Strides.
Okay.
No. You put things like something I'm working on, which again is really funny with the lunch that I just ate. I'm working on like body weight, not a scale, but like my body weight percentage. Mm-hmm. So I'm tracking that because I want to make sure to reduce my body weight percentage. Mm-hmm. No, body fat percentage.
Body fat percentage.
Body fat. Like I want to be healthy.
Yep.
The other one, I'm tracking so many things. I want to read one chapter of a book every day. I want.
How do you do that during like these crazy conference days?
Well, I haven't on these days, but it keeps me mindful so that I'm not. And then you could see how many days out of the month have I made an excuse of why not to. Like I used to speak Spanish fluently. And for several years I've wanted to relearn Spanish and I just haven't. And so now it's in this app, like complete one thing. And it's about thinking it out, like planning ahead, like, okay, if I say learn Spanish, it's not just to learn Spanish, but how am I going to do it? Okay. If I'm going to be a Rosetta Stone, mm-hmm. like how are they formatted? Okay. They're kind of like book chapters. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do one lesson a day.
Yep.
And then that will be my execution thing. And then eventually it will become a habit. But what I like is that after a month, I could see like, here's the days that I didn't do it. What was going on in my life? How do I plan accordingly during that time? You were talking about how you went to the conference, you picked up a bag of carrots. I think when we're at least for me, when I'm at the conference already, it's too late to get the bag of carrots.
It's so true.
So like if I know every time I go to a conference, I should always have a bag of carrots and celery in my bag, it will change things for me. But if I'm not even thinking about it or planning it out, that is what I do when I go to conferences, yeah. because I saw that on my tracker, like I see by habit, I'm not taking care of myself during that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, I absolutely agree. If you're not aware, then you're not able to fix it.
I think the first step to everything, I just, at the Next Web, where we were both at, I was at a round table with David Allen, the Getting Things Done Productivity Master. It was amazing. And he said,
why wasn't I at that round table?
It was amazing. And he said that he likes to clear everything out of his head. And he said, and this was interesting, and put it on a list. But he's like, it's not about doing everything on the list. It's being aware of what you choose, what to do and what not to do. So essentially,
that goes together with my list of the 25 things, the five mandatory things, and the other 20 are the avoid at all cost.
Right, right. But at least you know what you're avoiding, or you're making a conscious choice. Like if something on the list is, let's just say it was like read a chapter of a book, you're consciously choosing not to do that mm-hmm. rather than just not doing something and then feeling out of sorts.
Yeah.
I like that. How can people connect with you further?
Get in touch with me. I'm on all the social medias. Twitter, I'm at Julia Gifford. JuliaGifford. On LinkedIn, I think I'm just regular Julia Gifford. Facebook, I'm also Julia Gifford.
And we'll include it in the show notes. And tell us what... I know you have a marketing agency and Labs of Latvia. Who does your marketing agency serve? Like, mm-hmm. is someone listening, if they need someone, who does it serve? And then Labs of Latvia, like, when should we look to check out Labs of Latvia?
So for Labs of Latvia, you should, it's a website that you can check on the daily, labsoflatvia.com, but make sure to click the little English button because it's available in both Latvian and English. You can follow Labs of Latvia on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. Also, they're all at Labs of Latvia. And Instagram. And in terms of TrueSix, my content marketing and PR agency, we work exclusively with tech companies. For those that are looking to reach the English-speaking market, we only work in English, and we only work with the written content. So blog posts, guest posts, earned media... So anyone that's looking to get their word out about them, if you need a cheerleader.
Very cool.
So that's also what we do.
And thank you for stepping outside your comfort zone and doing this interview with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and it was a fun time just chatting.
It is fun. I mean, you guys, it's just like the sun peaked out. Which it wasn't out for a little bit, and it peaked out, and we've just been sitting on the grass. It's really nice. It's It's a great yep. afternoon. You guys, to connect further and collaborate with more incredible women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight there. That's womenintechvip.com. Say hello on social at Women Tech Show, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Hey, I'm Julia Gifford, the co-founder of True6.co, the content marketing and PR agency for tech companies that need written English language content, as well as the editor of Labs of Latvia, the only Latvian startup news platform. I am based in Riga, Latvia, and you are listening to Women in Tech.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision.